everyone. Hello, y'all. So I listened back to my baby reindeer episodes, and it sounds like my volume was significantly lower than the volume of my ad. So I apologize for that up top. Eventually, I will figure out the audio. I will figure out how to record. I'm seriously considering renting out studio space. But anyways, moving right along, I watched the Ashley Madison docuseries last, I think a few days ago, and one of my girlfriends had watched it. I knew right off the bat, like, I wanted to see it. Some people I follow, they were talking about it, and I remember, like, I am no stranger to Ashley Madison, and some people who, or one person in particular that I follow, he didn't know about Ashley Madison. I remember the fiasco with the hacking because I remember celebrities, like, their husbands were on the site. So I was pretty well versed on the controversy. And so I was happy to watch it. I encourage you to watch it if you haven't. And if you haven't, I am going to tell you everything that happens because this is a recap. That's what happens in a recap. I break it down. And so please check it out if you haven't already, or if you don't want to watch it, listen to what I got to say about this. And okay, so up top, I have lived in cities, three cities in particular, that are capitals for the ethically non-monogamous. And I have spoken to people who were very deep into that world. I spoke to a guy over a decade ago who was really into it, him and his girlfriend. That was their lifestyle. I think, how many times did he say they would swing? Let's see. I think three times at minimum, and I think he said he knew a lot of couples who do it 7 days a week. Okay. So anyways, and then I went on a date with someone in LA who also had a relationship, and he was ethically non-monogamous. That's a fancy way to say that if you are the third party in a couple, and if you are making a throuple, if you being, dating or hooking up with one or two people who are together and you are now officially a throuple, I'm going off the deep end. But my point is, Ashley Madison is pairing two people together versus being a throuple. Well, throuple and ethically non-monogamous are totally different things. But Ashley Madison is discreet, where your partner, sorry, your spouse doesn't know what you're doing. They don't know that you have community dick or community pussy. And ethically non-monogamous, that's why it says ethically, your partner knows what you're doing and you guys discuss it. So watching this docuseries, there is a black woman on this series named Stephanie. She didn't say very much, but the way how this woman had me so completely sold on, like, sleeping with other people, I was like, wow. She didn't have to say much. She got me to side with her immediately. And with Ashley Madison, here's what I have to say. I do believe that people getting their needs fulfilled elsewhere keeps them in their relationships. 1,000,000%. There are the people who are going to flee the scene, flee the marriage, flee the relationship because they're not getting their needs met. And there are the people who are going to remain in their relationships and get their needs met elsewhere. So I do believe that people fulfilling or getting their needs met is what keeps a lot of people together. However, of course, it's complicated. And I think what I would have liked to see with this docuseries is I would have liked to have learned about people who met on the site and then, instead of just hooking up once or a few times, actually got into a relationship and left their spouse. You know, it's not like, think about, okay, so in Ashley Madison, there were what? Oh, jeez. Was it 37 million? 27 million? 37? Let me see. I'm not gonna Google, but I feel like it was 27 or 37 million people, whatever. Point is, because a lot of those were bots, but the point is, there were enough users of the site for things to get sticky. Where people were in a marriage and they hooked up with somebody, and then they were like, this is too good. We are connecting too much. Our chemistry is too extreme. Let's leave our spouses. Like, just realistically, let's not pretend as though this site is existing and it's exclusively w like emotion-free one-night stands. That's just not realistic. And there's nothing wrong with this documentary. Apparently, I learned through somebody else who covered it that you, or sorry, Hulu made one, and I'm not watching it. And the person who told me, or sorry, the person, the YouTuber said, who said that there's a Hulu one that came out last year, the reason why I'm not gonna watch it is because, like, I watched the Firefest docuseries or documentary on Netflix, and I watched it on, I guess, Hulu, and I was like, ew. Like the Netflix one was better, and this YouTuber said the Netflix one was better. I'm glad though I watched the Hulu version of the docuseries on Twin Flames. But from between Firefest and Twin Flames, like Netflix has put out the superior documentary or docuseries, so I'm not even touching Hulu. Sorry to Hulu. Like, sorry to this man. Like, you know, I believe in y'all, but I'm sorry, but Netflix kind of kicks your ass when it comes to these docuseries. But anyways, so what was I saying? I was talking about people staying together because they're getting their needs met elsewhere. Yeah, so I think there is a lot of room, or there are a lot of topics that could be covered in this that weren't covered in this docuseries. And some I might mention off the cuff, but you know, up top, off the cuff, I believe that if you have that many millions of people, like even a few million, it doesn't even have to be whatever number, the 17, 27, 37, whatever millions of people that they said were using the site. It doesn't have to be a large amount of people. I just believe that there are some people who will have left their spouse for someone that they met on Ashley Madison. And then so it's like that kind of breeds deeper questions. Is Ashley Madison to blame, or should we be rooting those people on that they're getting their needs met and they found this great love or the love of their life, you know, later on in life? Can't somebody argue both sides? I don't know. I mean, I just believe that in general, when someone has an affair, they have a leg up on their partner. And so ultimately, they're hurting their partner when they abandon, I mean, when they leave, right? They're really devastating their partner when they up and leave, blindside their asses. And are just in another relationship, like they get a jump start, and that's really unfair because the person who is dumped, sorry, the dumpy is struggling and the dumper is straight thriving. So I don't know. And I do not believe that relationships end the way that they start. I think that's something that people enjoy saying, but I just don't believe that that's statistically and factually accurate. By any means. And I know a few successful home wreckers. You know, I say successful because they took their man from another woman and they're married, happily married today. Like a significant amount of years later. Like it's just dumb. I don't subscribe to that whole like, how you beat him. It's like, let's not do that. Because let's be real. Just because two people are in a relationship or two people are married doesn't mean they're happy and doesn't mean that they should be together. Look at reality TV. Look at the couples on reality TV. Hasn't that taught all of us that there are married people who should not be together? So it's like just because a home wrecking whore comes in and becomes a successful home wrecker does not mean that the person who left their spouse for their side hoe was treated well. There's just a wide spectrum, like, and it's just, I get it. People want to just be on a moral high ground and on their high horse and passing a lot of judgment. And is part of that judgment that a lot of people pass on swingers and the ethically non-monogamous and people on Ashley Madison, is some of that rooted in jealousy? Does some of that exist because they could never see themselves doing that themselves? Because a lot of judgment that people pass on to other people when they have alternate lifestyles or make different choices is rooted in jealousy. Nobody wants to talk about that though, right? I just believe that when it comes to Ashley Madison, I do believe, or let me take Ashley Madison out of the equation. I do believe that for some people, them cheating is what allows them to remain in their relationship. I'm not saying that cheating, I'm not justifying cheating in any way. I'm not like the guy in the pink shirt who's like, oh, something was wrong in the relationship. I don't subscribe to that at all because when you sit there and you're like, oh, if somebody cheated, something was wrong in the relationship, you are victim blaming. And it's not, he said, you're either the cheater is either a sociopath or something was wrong. It's not that black or white. There's a lot of nuance there. So I'm not gonna victim blame. And I'm not gonna just victim blame or say that the other person is a sociopath. Like there's too much of a wide spectrum for me to do that. I just feel that a lot of people who cheat engage in reckless behavior. I don't believe that they use protection all the time. I don't believe that they're really they're really keeping their emotions out of it. I think sometimes they're really having these like deep, profound affairs. And realistically, as a side piece, you're getting the best version of that person. Let's be real. You are getting the person who's excited about you, energetic about you, wants to love on you. And that person's spouse is not getting that same treatment, that same version of that person. So most, the majority of cheating, I heard this statistic forever ago, happens in the workplace. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, because when you're at work, you're looking your best, you're doing your best, you're showcasing your skills, you're being very personable, very nice. Of course, you could catch feelings for someone that you're seeing looking their best, excelling at their job and putting their best foot forward. And then that person goes home, that very same person, and then their spouse is seeing them looking ugly and tired because they were at work all day. So, of course, it's easy to fall for the person that you see looking hot in sexy clothes, has her hair did, makeup did, and is being nice. Like, that's a no-brainer. And so it's like, it's just not fair when people step out and they're dating someone else and they're comparing that person who has only seen the best version of them to their spouse who actually has to deal with real life problems in their relationship. Like it's not fair and it's not realistic either because to really be a solid long term couple, like you have to be dealing with adversity. And if you guys are meeting exclusively to break each other off, there is no adversity. The only adversity is how many rounds and how many times a week or a month. Like, get the F out of here. So, sorry for that, for anybody who didn't want to listen. I apologize. I think I'm gonna put timestamps on this episode because, damn, that was a long intro. I just feel like they're so There's so much to infidelity, and I think what I don't enjoy is the people who look down on the women who stay, and the people or the men who stay. I'll pretend that people look down on both. And I hate that, and then I hate how people just speak on what they would do in that circumstance. A lot of times in life, like, we don't know what we would do. We find out what we would do in circumstances when we're in them. And so I just really don't enjoy the people who are like, if this happened, I would do that. Okay. All right. So basically, let's get into this docuseries already. What's wrong with me? What's wrong? Okay, so in 2001, Darren Morgenstern was shocked that 30% to learn that 30% of people on dating apps are married. And so he's the mastermind behind Ashley Madison. I remember this statistic. I remember hearing it on morning news shows that every single time, I heard it for like 2 years in a row. So I learned of this at the same time as Darren. I learned that every single time that they do an audit on different dating sites, 30% of the members are married. And I also, there was this huge scandal. I'm not going to name drop them for in case they want to come for my neck, but there was a huge scandal with a very popular dating site. And what that dating site would do is the users who weren't often using the site and weren't really interacting much and weren't having success, they were paying their employees to date those members for a few months to entice those members to remain on the site. How cruel is that? And think about it. If you're getting paid to date someone for a few months, you're going to be perfect because you don't want that person to dump you, because then you would be failing at your job and you wouldn't be fulfilling you wouldn't be fulfilling your tasks, which is to date someone for a few months. I'm still upset about that. I'm so pissed. Like, the amount of people who probably fell so hard for these people who were paid to date them and sleep with them, and then they're done. Like, that site should have been permanently shut down. So I just want to say F you if any of you are connected to that site or connected to doing that. F off. Again, let me get back to the docuseries. I am so passionate about like dating and relationships and stuff, in case you can't tell. So initially, the tagline for Ashley Madison was when monogamy meets monotony. And apparently, a lot of people like thought, I guess, monogamy was mahogany, wood, whatever. People are dumb, so I get it. So infomercials were ineffective and they didn't increase membership. So then Noel, can't remember his last name, he joined Ashley Madison in 2004 and he turned things around. He was hungry. And he began his career as a sports lawyer, which was absolutely perfect because so many of his clients were having affairs. So he understood that that's just what some people are going to do. So Noel would go on TV promoting the site in interviews, and he was fearless. And so they changed their whole monogamy, monotony thing to life is short, have an affair. I absolutely love that tagline. It's like you hear it and you're like, yes. Absolutely. Like it sounds like a bucket list thing that you should do. And it's like, life is short, do this. It's like, yes, I need that experience. Like, it's so brilliant. I read that and I don't question it. I'm like, that's true. I need to check that off my list, my non-existent list. So, love it. So, in 2007, Noel promoted his friend. So there's this guy in a pink shirt. I don't remember his name. I should have, but who cares? He's in a pink shirt with black flamingos on it. He's overweight, pot-bellied. And he likes to wear funky glasses, whatever. And so his friend had not used a computer. Like, Noel, I don't know how you're promoting a man who hasn't used a computer and it's 2007. Like, I don't know what to say to that man. If that were me, I wouldn't say that on a docuseries. And why were you not using a computer? Like, what were you doing with your life? Like, let's be serious here. So, anyways, the guy in the pink shirt with the flamingos, Mr. Flamingo, he said that, people are coming to Ashley Madison because they don't want to blow up their marriage. They don't want to end their marriage. And so married people have this very same thing to lose. And discretion is important. And so it was his job to attract men who were willing to upload their credit cards to meet women on the site. And how the site worked is you had to buy credits to message people, which is so genius. It's like, most of these sites, you have a monthly subscription, and they were too money hungry, greedy for that. They're like, nah, you need to pay for messages. And so you had to spend so much money just to message people. And as we all know, just because you message somebody doesn't mean that they're going to message you back. Like, I shout out, I think that's genius level marketing. Just, the way how they were making their bread, it's like, yeah, these people were willing, so willing to spend the money, so they rang up their credit cards. So Ashley Madison could not get TV ads approved, which I love. I kind of love how Puritan we are in the States about some things. Like, I don't think we need to be having commercials promoting this and endorsing this, because let's be real. A lot of people, it doesn't matter that 30% of people on dating apps are married. A lot of people would not cheat without a site that made it so easy. Like, let's be for serious. I do believe that it's just my suspicion that several users cheated through Ashley Madison for the very first time in their lives. So, yeah, don't put that on TV. We don't need that. So, let's see here. So what Noel said in an interview, a televised interview, is that love shouldn't be exclusionary, and that nobody would tell him that he could only love one child. So you can't tell me I can only love one woman. This is where his wifey should have picked up on it being a problem, like that he said that. And I can't argue with that. I can't. If you can love more than one child, you can love more than one woman or man. Like, I don't know, Noel, I don't know, he's speaking from personal experience. So the series starts off in San Diego, and as far as the very first city that's featured, and they show a white guy named Rob, and they show, like, in his settings, which Rob said was so cool about Ashley Madison, is that you could be really specific about what you're looking for race wise I think height wise interests, kinks. Like, I'm like, this is great. They really got it down, because basically, I don't believe that there's any, you could never be too specific when it comes to these sites. What I wish they would include is credit scores and IQ scores and emotional intelligence tests. If those even exist, that's what I want to see. So it was, they show with the little settings that Rob was choosing that he selected African American women as his preference. And I just thought, whatever. I thought nothing of it. And I was surprised. Things took a turn. So let's see here. Hold on one second. So wives would call up Ashley Madison and be like, I don't understand this charge. How sad. These poor women. Like, get to Google, bitch. Google. But I don't think it said Ashley Madison when, like, was listed on the credit card statements. But it did make me sad that wives were calling trying to find out. It really broke my heart. I remember there was this one time I worked at a store, an online store, and people would buy flowers. And this woman called me one time, and she was just asking, like, basic ass questions. And then I just decided to go into the history of her account, and I found out her husband was having an affair. And I, like, copied all of the information into an email because I was so heartbroken for her. And he was just talking about how he loves her so much and he can't wait to see her. And it was like sexual. And I was like, you know, just his note on that he wanted on the flowers. And I felt so bad for her. And it was totally in violation of my job and the confidentiality if I were to tell her. And I didn't tell her. And I don't think about it ever, okay? Like, I'm not tossing and turning. I'm thinking about it now, off the fly or on the fly or whatever. But I regret not telling her because I just feel like her man was probably like, this was just what he was about. I don't believe like that hoe was his first hoe. I don't believe that that hoe was his last hoe. And it grossed me out. Poor thing. So moving right along, we see a white guy named Sam, and he picked the elite package, and he's a 28-year-old man in Dallas, and he hid his Ashley Madison app in a folder inside a folder. I don't know. I made a mental note of that, okay? Like, the way how I'm not gonna be poking around in folders, like, the man is bright. He's bright for that. And obviously, on the site, some women said that their husbands weren't sexually satisfying them, and I'm not touching that topic. I've spoken enough. I've spoken enough in the intro. That's sad. That's all I'm gonna say is that's sad. So Sam responded to everyone in his area who was on Ashley Madison, and then he reached out to women beyond his area. And I don't appreciate in this docuseries that it was kind of ambiguous. Like, he said he reached out to them, like, they weren't. I don't appreciate that we don't know what he was doing, like, how, like, what he was actually doing with the women. It just, they made it sound like this was just an online, like a pen pal situation. I don't appreciate that. So, we need details. Some of us are into details, so do better. So then Noel said that he's a postmodern feminist. Again, like, these are red flags. I'm sorry. You talking about how you could love more than one child and you're a postmodern feminist with this website? Like, red flag. I'm saying this because I know what happens, but I just feel like wifey should have been like, you're not a feminist for doing this. You're actually grimy and disgusting. So by 2012, Ashley Madison had users in 35 countries, and the revenue was doubling, sorry, every single month. So Noel's wife said that if he were to cheat on her, she would be devastated. Again, this is a red flag. Like, it's like you can't, like, oh my gosh. So basically, it's, you know, there are so many times where a celebrity couple is like very public with their love, and then they break up. And I just feel sad that the wife was like trusting Noel. And he didn't need to be using her as a prop in his interviews. Like, just go do your thing, you know? So anyways, the cheater is, hold on. So that's what I see in my notes what the flamenco guy said. He said the cheater is not the only person to blame. As I said, he's victim blaming. He said, quote, most of the time when people cheat, it's because something's broken in their union, in their marriage. You know what? When people say things like that, I hope they get cheated on. I'm sorry. Like, don't be p victim blaming like that. Like, it's not. He's making it sound like when somebody gets cheated on, it was in their control. To control what, to dictate what their partner does, and that's not how it works. Some people have the best boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, husbands, and they just want to be with multiple people, and it's that simple. So F right off, flamingo guy. So Rob says that he is one of the happiest men he knows because he has options. And we see that Rob is married to a black woman named Stephanie, with platinum blonde braids. And Stephanie is out here hoeing and explaining why it's great. And I am not into this couple. Like, I am like, this is not the interracial couple example I wanted or needed. Like, no, full stop. No. No. Why is y'all like this? Don't do this to us. Don't do it. I just think that Stephanie is very sexual, and like, black women deal with enough As far as like the, there are too many stereotypes and too many images put out in mainstream media and pop culture that like black women are like hypersexual. I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. It began in, I don't know when it began, but as far as in slavery, black women didn't have a choice. They were raped by white men. They were white men. They were raped by their slave masters. So like if you're sitting there and raping someone and sexualizing her and using or like viewing her as a sexual op object, she didn't opt into that whatsoever. And it's been detrimental to the community, just having that stereotype. It's like, no, like black people are never, ever, ever gonna be a monolith. Like, enough already with the hypersexuality. So I didn't appreciate that Stephanie was the hypersexual one who was all pro sex outside the marriage and in the marriage. I didn't appreciate that. I wanted them to be a good, wholesome interracial couple. I was not here for it. Not. Like, I remember there's this show, it's old school, called Party of Five. And it was out before maybe some of you guys were born. And I remember when one of the lead stars, I think his name is Matthew Fox, he was dating a black woman. And on their first date, she was like, "Let's have sex. What are you waiting for? We shouldn't have to wait." And I was like, "Nah. Do not give me an interracial couple if the woman is, if the, do not give me a white guy, black girl interracial couple if the woman is just like, we have to have sex immediately. Like, I'm not, we don't need that. I'm sorry. Nope, not into it." So, at the end of episode one, we find out that Ashley Madison, the site has been hacked, and the people behind the site have 30 days to shut it down or leak everyone's information. And I don't blame Ashley Madison for not shutting down. Like, Ashley Madison was too much of a cash cow. Too many people were on its payroll. So they had to, not shut it down. You can't shut it down. I guess the only thing they could do, and I just thought of it right now, what they could have done is contacted all the members and said, "I'm sorry, but we finna shut down in 30 days for, 30 to 60 days." So that would just buy them more time to find out who's behind it. And the idea just came to me right now, but ultimately, if you're in that position, you can't shut, like, you can't be making so much money and just take it like overnight. You have to, you're losing it overnight, especially when you have so many employees. So I support Ashley Madison in not shutting it down. They certainly tried. They certainly tried to figure shit out. So on July 13th, 2015, that was the day of the hack, and a Swedish, Ashley Madison hired Swedish hackers to find out who was behind the threat. And when they met up with a suspected hacker, that hacker rejected the money. And Sam, of Sam and Nia, the guy who he's married to a Christian woman, and he was saying like he expanded his radius on Ashley Madison to not just locals. He was outed on Twitter, and then a woman in New Orleans, she found out about her husband writing letters and having affairs, and we see that her husband killed himself, and it's not like her husband is the only one. I would have liked, again, more information from this docuseries about how many people took their lives. That part was missing. They just showed one woman who lost her spouse, and it's not like she's the only one. So then, episode three, Noel's emails are leaked. And we see that Noel wanted not just Noel, is this what he means by he's a postmodern feminist? We find out that Noel not only is into affairs, but he's into sleeping with 18 or 19-year-old escorts. He could F off immediately. And another thing that I didn't appreciate about this docuseries is we did not find out about the fallout of finding out that Noel sleeps with, allegedly was trying to sleep with, slash sleeping with 18 and 19 year old girls. I need to know how his wife took that. And I also want to know why she stayed with him. So this is one of those times where I can pass judgment. I know earlier I was like, I don't like those people who say what they would or would not do. But if you are sleeping with children, I'm sorry, 18 or 19 year old, your ch child, your frontal lobe is not fully formed. I'm out. I can say that with complete conviction and certainty. I'm out. Like, I can't look at you anymore. Sorry. So then Adam was, sorry, Sam was always cheating on his wife Nia, and he even tried to sleep with Nia's friends. I love that they kept this part in the docuseries. This is how some people are. They're not just gonna cheat, but they're going to try to sleep with your friends. Like, some people, there are no boundaries. Nia is lucky. She's lucky that her friends never slept with her husband. So, like, I was talking to my girlfriend a few months ago, or probably the other month, and she was like, "Did I ever tell you that one of my friends, she was trying to sleep with my ex-boyfriend?" And I was like, "No." So one of her friends contacted, like, I guess called, texted, whatever, my friend's boyfriend and was trying to sleep with him. And so her boyfriend, my friend's boyfriend, told her, like, "Look, your girl's trying to sleep with me." And so she's like, "I don't believe it." And he was like, "I'm gonna call her right now." He calls her on three-way and he's like, "Oh, so you want to do everything you talked about in the email?" And she was like, "Yeah, like, when do you want to come over, blah blah blah." I said, "Oh no." Like, no. And I'm gonna leave it at that, because I mean, this is my friend that this happened to, but I have known people who, like, they basically are that friend. Nia is so lucky her friends did not sleep with her husband. And I know she's a good Christian woman, but if you're trying to F my friends, I don't know. I don't know how willing I would be to forgive that person. I don't know. But the man is on the documentary exposing what he looks like and his story, so maybe he will keep it in his pants, and maybe he has. So anyways, Ashley Madison, they were totally scamming users. They said, "Give us $19 and we're gonna delete all traces of your accounts." Meanwhile, they didn't do anything. Meanwhile, the accounts are still there. I don't know. I'm gonna look and see right now, and I know it's not cute that I do this when I Google something while I'm podcasting, but I'm gonna see if Ashley Madison has made any statement. I'm gonna do that. I'm almost done with my notes at the end of this. Have they commented on this docuseries? Ashley Madison needs to explain how they are securing people's information, protecting users from hacking, and how, and apologizing slash refunding everybody that they took $19 from to delete their accounts. Meanwhile, they never deleted the accounts. So we find out that the scamming did not end with just taking $19 and doing nothing. Ashley Madison staff members were creating fake women's profiles, and the profiles were coming from the Ashley Madison IP address, thousands of them. So when I first heard about the hack and the site, or I think I knew about the site and then I heard about the hack a few years later. But anyways, it was like discovered, or when the hacking story came out, they said a lot of the users were fake. I would have loved to find out more information on that as well. Don't drop the ball on that. What percentage of the profiles are fake? This site exists today and it's still thriving, so let us know what's going on. And so yeah, let me see. That's the end of my notes. Noel, like, resigned or whatever and hung his head in shame. Like, F off. What I wanted to know too is How long has Stephanie been married to Rob? How often is Rob stepping out? How often is she stepping out? The way how Stephanie explained, like, how, a stranger's touch is different, I'm like, say less. Like, this woman really sold sleeping with other people. She sold it so well. Like, she just had to give like one or two sentences as to why it could be beneficial. And I was like, you a hoe. Like, that's a real hoe. It's just gonna make monogamy sound disgusting and boring. Yeah, I just would have liked to have known more information about Stephanie's relationship and how, Stephanie s said that she would cheat on her exes. Like, did her exes ever find out? Like, how did that go about? It would have been nice to know more and to know more about Rob. Like, did they mutually reach this decision to be like, we want to sleep with other people? Did they, seek each other out because they already knew that? Did they meet like as swingers? Like, I would have appreciated more background information, but this docuseries really focused on the establishment of the site, the building up of the site, and the takedown of the site. And so we were left with many holes when it comes to what is up with Noel. Since, his wife found out that he was allegedly sleeping with 18 and 19-year-old escorts, I would like to know more information on Stephanie's marriage. Stephanie and Rob, I would like to know if Nia ever like stepped out in revenge, or if they went to counseling, or like what was her whole like, oh, I forgive my husband, I'm a good Christian woman. Like, how did it really affect her finding out everything that he did? Because, in the series, I thought it was clever. They kept, Sam speaking in one area of the house and then Nia speaking in another to act like they weren't together. I knew they were together because they both had their wedding rings on. So they should have, if they really wanted to fool us, they should have told Sam and Nia to take their wedding rings off before they record, or sorry, film. But yeah, and I just, like I said, I wanted to know how many people killed themselves and how this was all received in other countries. You got to remember, like, infidelity is not acceptable in a lot of the countries that Ashley Madison was or is operating in. So, like, people, there were probably a lot of murders. Like, it probably wasn't just reserved for, it probably just wasn't confined to people killing themselves. It could have been so many murders. And here in the States too, people just, they can't handle, a lot of people can't handle knowing that their partner cheated, but still well done. And the funny thing about this docuseries, I could tell y'all right now, the way how membership for Ashley Madison probably skyrocketed and is through the roof because of how many people didn't know about this. I knew about Ashley Madison because I've been connected to pop culture forever. So I was well, like, I knew about it. So many people didn't know about it. And the way how, like, the growth of, the way how there must have been a, like, huge, huge uptick in membership after this docuseries, and probably for a very, very long time, as long as this docuseries is popular. Like, this docuseries is one of the best things to ever happen to Ashley Madison. So, let me see. I'm seeing if Ashley Madison said anything. Wow, that's interesting. I just see somebody saying that Netflix's Ashley Madison docuseries, or that cheating stories in the Ashley Madison docuseries lack sympathy for betrayed spouses, focusing on adulterers' perspectives. I don't agree with that because I think everybody understands. I kind of said I would have liked to hear more, but I think everybody understands that the spouses were devastated. So I don't really. And there's different articles saying why did Christian vloggers go on Netflix's Ashley Madison doc? Because it raises their profile and they're gonna make more money, so why not? Let me see here. So yeah, I'm not seeing.
I'm just seeing that people were like commenting on the series. I'm not seeing the company's response. So, I'm sure that maybe they said nothing. I don't know. But I'm not finding it. So, if you do find what Ashley Madison said about the series, let me know. There's so many articles about it. Wow. You know what I love, though? I love knowing that we all have a finite amount of time and that I don't deep dive on everything. I just like I tell y'all what I would like more information on, and it begins and ends there pretty much, unless I'm looking something up in real time. I don't, there are only so many hours in the day. So, all right, that's it. Love y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.